Hello, and welcome back to By the Bay. It's February 14th.
And what a show we have today. We're going to start by talking with Ocknock Esther Litzik about the Southwest Region School District's UPIC Value of the Month.
I take a look at the new leaders of Bristol Bay Seafood Investment, including their view of a questionable cod market.
We also talk about the initial reactions to the Army Corps' preliminary final environmental review of the Pebble Project's application. We look at hunting conditions around Togiak with a tribal council member.
And we visit a music class at the Dillingham High School.
All that coming up.
Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you, and love.
Hey, Izzy. It's the season of love, Valentine's Day.
So it is, and we're going to explore all different kinds of love on the show today.
No need to fret, lovebirds. We also have some pure, unadulterated news from the week.
And so let's get started with that. Ocknock Esther Litzik is the UPIC Studies Director at the Southwest Region School District. They have a UPIC value for each month of the year, and Litzik came into the studio to talk about the school's value for February. Thank you so much for coming in.
Koyana, just to let you know, I do work with the Southwest Region Schools, and we do have a UPIC value of the month that we encourage our schools to focus on. And the value for this month is through love, respect your children. So how do we show this action? By making sure that your child hears you say, "Kinkumkin, I love you. Kinkumkin, I love you." That's a beautiful word. Your child needs to hear that. By making sure they are dressed with appropriate clothing for the weather. By making sure they are ready and on time for school. By making sure they are fed good food for growth. By taking them out on subsistence activities and have them participate, this is so important because they're going to learn by being out there with you. By sharing stories with them about your family, and they need to know the stories about your family and the history. By making sure they know who their UPIC namesakes are and the good characteristics of that namesake. And by making sure they know who their relatives are, and most importantly, by being a good role model. Koyana.
Koyana, are there any stories you'd like to share?
The late Dr. Annie Blue of Togiak, she was honorary doctor. She shared a little snippet of a story when we were in Berlin in 1997, looking at the artifacts, and we saw a story knife. And she said that when a Nukalpek, a great hunter, married a young lady, he presented her with a story knife, a yarwin, and a set of earrings.
That's beautiful.
Do I?
That's great. Did you ever get a story knife or a set of earrings?
I was married to a non-native person, so he didn't present me with a yarwin. Oh, he did later in life. A yarwin and lots of earrings.
That was UPIC Studies Director Ocknock Esther Litzik talking about the Southwest Region School District's Value of the Month.
Switching to seafood now, the Bristol Bay Native Corporation has hired Amy Humphreys and Emmett Anderson to lead their new subsidiary, Bristol Bay Seafood Investments. Humphreys will serve as CEO and Anderson as vice president. Humphreys spent 25 years in the seafood industry, mostly with American Seafoods. She was also the CEO of Icicle Seafoods. Anderson grew up in Dillingham's subsistence and commercial fishing. He recently served as the senior commercial manager at the Marine Stewardship Council and on BB&C's board of directors. The announcement came at the end of January, 4 months after the corporation's acquisition of Blue North Seafoods and Clipper Fisheries. Combined, the two companies total almost 40% of the allowable catch of Alaska Pacific cod. Humphrey's first order of business is integrating the two fisheries.
Execution there is critically important. So we're going to make sure that we focus on the assets and the companies that we have and make sure that they continue to operate strongly as they have in the past.
But the new leadership also has its sights on a bigger picture.
Then over time, sooner rather than later, in terms of my focus and Everett's focus, we'll work to expand BB&C's seafood presence in not only the Alaskan seafood sector, but further out into the global seafood arena.
In terms of outlook and what kind of financial impacts it could have on Alaska, they say it's too early to tell. There are environmental concerns about the health of Pacific cod. In December, the federal cod fishery in the Gulf of Alaska closed due to historically low numbers caused by warming ocean temperatures. Humphreys and the operating team at BBSI are already monitoring some of those concerns.
Quota fluctuations will always impact businesses operating in the Bering Sea. The operating team is acutely aware of those issues and navigating and planning for those quota fluctuations. And as well, I hope that my previous experience in the seafood industry will be beneficial as we develop plans in the future to just manage through those challenges over time.
Vice President of BBSI, Everett Anderson, believes that cod will bounce back.
This is a sustainable harvested species. It's shown that it has weathered some cyclical issues over the years in the Bering Sea and currently in the Gulf of Alaska, but a lot of these species are pretty resilient.
Bering Sea cod opened last month with a 3.5.5 million pound catch quota. That number is down roughly 1 million pounds from 2019. Blue North Seafoods and Clipper Fisheries are out at sea for the harvest under its new banner.
Pebble was in the news again this week as the proposed mine moves through the federal permitting process. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released the preliminary final environmental review of Pebble's application to cooperating agencies and tribes last week, and that document was passed on to the press.
Does anything stick out?
Well, the Army Corps said in a press call on Tuesday that this preliminary final review does not include the least environmentally damaging practicable alternative. It's also called LEDPA. It's what will be considered in the mine's record of decision and what will be included in the final environmental review.
How are people reacting to it?
There's kind of a sense that groups on all sides of the debate are still working through that document. There are a lot of things to look at, but, you know, reactions that have been released so far haven't been too surprising. Groups that oppose the mine say that the process is rushed and that it's not addressing the public comments and critiques of the draft EIS. That includes things like the lack of an analysis of a major tailings dam failure. A press release from the United Tribes of Bristol Bay really stressed their view that the Army Corps was moving forward while disregarding local concerns as well as a directive from Congress. Senator Lisa Murkowski notably called on the Army Corps to address those concerns. In a press release, UTBB Executive Director Alana Hurley said, quote, Senator Lisa Murkowski authored and passed language in last year's budget bill demanding the Corps do more to address data gaps and agency-identified problems with the EIS, unquote. And she went on to say that this newest version of the review does not do that.
And what's Pebble saying?
Pebble's reaction was overwhelmingly positive, which wasn't a surprise either. They're saying the Army Corps' document shows that it's on schedule to release the final EIS this summer. It also points to the sections that say the impact to fish habitat won't affect commercial or subsistence harvest levels. In a press release, CEO Tom Collier says, quote, it is our understanding that the USACE, the Army Corps of Engineers, has taken to heart the breadth of comments received from the cooperating agencies and from members of Congress, such as Senator Lisa Murkowski, and included them in their latest draft, unquote. But opponents are maintaining that this document is proof that the entire permitting process is flawed and needs to undergo major changes.
And they also issued a press release specifically regarding the lack of a major tailings failure analysis in the EIS documents, which has been a major point of contention for critics of the project.
That's right. In a release, Pebble CEO Collier, he defends the Army Corps' exclusion of a tailings failure analysis, saying it's valid because of how Pebble designed its facilities and that the risk of catastrophic failing is extremely low. Critics have said that that exclusion, the lack of an analysis showing what would happen if there was a major tailings dam failure, is part of a larger pattern of gaps in the Army Corps' review, and that even if the risk of a failure is low, because the mine would have to be maintained in perpetuity, so forever, that risk is still very present.
All right, and we'll continue to follow that story. Now, some somber news from Manicotic. Last Saturday, a man was charged with murdering another resident, 37-year-old Sean Whitley. Alaska State Troopers report that the death was caused by injuries sustained in an attack. Troopers arrested 54-year-old Dick Mulria for allegedly killing Whitley. On Saturday morning, a Manicotic tribal police officer reported that shots had been fired in the village. Witnesses told the officer they had heard a gunshot and saw Itamaria beating Whitley with a wooden board. Whitley was transported to the village clinic, but high winds and blowing snow prevented him from being medevaced to a hospital. He died early Sunday morning. Because of the poor weather, troopers from Dillingham couldn't get to Manicotic by snow machine on Saturday. They flew to the village Sunday morning to investigate the death. Itamaria agreed to talk to the troopers. He told them that Whitley had come to the house twice on Saturday, kicking on the door and threatening him and other people inside. Troopers arrested Itamaria and transported him to the Dillingham jail, where he was remanded without bail on the felony charge of murder in the second degree.
We're going over to New Steahawk now. New Steahawk Assistant Principal Megan Redmond was chosen as National Assistant Principal of the Year last spring, and as one of her duties in that post, Redmond participated in a mission trip sponsored by the company LifeTouch. Redmond traveled with a group of other educators and LifeTouch employees to Rio Grande in the Dominican Republic. It's a small community in the municipality of Constanza, and the group traveled there to help build an addition to the community school.
The community of Rio Grande is very rural and for a really long time didn't have their own school. And the students had to walk 3 to 4 miles to be able to get to a school. So a lot of them just didn't go. And I believe it was about 5 years ago, LifeTouch started sending a team down every year to work on building a school. And this year we went down to add on to the school building because so many kids attend school now that they need more space.
For 6 days, Redmond and other group members mixed cement and helped erect walls to the school's addition. There's a lot of debate about the impact and value of philanthropic missions abroad.
Yes, it kind of raises a great ethical quandary. Where are your priorities? Are you there in vain, or are you there to genuinely help this community?
Right. And I asked Redmond about this, and she said that if you're involved in trips like this, it's important that you go without a personal agenda.
You know, you're there to learn. And so when I visit a new place, I always go with a mindset, I'm going to learn more than maybe what I'm going to be able to share. I think when you go on trips like this, you know, of course we helped build walls in the new school building, but we were also able to make connections with people and gain friends that are, you know, half a world away from us. We're not just going to the Dominican Republic to help build a building. We're coming back with a new insight on our own lives and how we can help make our own communities a better place, too.
Redmond also said during the trip she did a video call with students at Chief Ivan Blanca School in New Steahawk and that they were excited to hear about the trip. The moose hunt in Game Management Unit 17A was extended by a month recently. It was originally set to close on February 9th. Now it's closing at 11:59 p.m. on February 29th. Hunters need a 2020 hunting license and can bag up to 2 animals, an antlered bull and an antlerless cow, if they have the correct permits. Peter Lockock Sr. is the Yuktun Place Names Coordinator for the Tribal Council of Togiak. He says conditions weren't very good at the beginning of the season, but since the end of December, they've improved.
We couldn't get moose right off the bat from the start because of the trail conditions we encountered, but it got better.
Lockock says that the recent snow around Togiak has made hunting easier, and some folks have been going out.
Quite a bit of snow fall down, and that wet snow sort of helped on some areas in open tundra to keep that snow on the ground, making it the trail condition much, much better now.
While the moose hunt was extended, the Mulchatna caribou hunt was, of course, closed for the season on both state and federal lands because of a sharp decline in the size of the herd. Lockock says he noticed a big shift in caribou movement around the region.
The caribous are kind of scarce this year. I myself hadn't seen anything. I started hunting moose in the fall season upriver in places where we normally see caribou. But for some reason, they weren't around. And as gotten into the winter season, I hardly hear anyone or local residents and seeing any caribou compared to other years that we used to have back then.
Here's Lockock's rundown of hunting conditions around Togiak in Yupik.
Tun Unit 17 A Army. Uksuk Pinatjaguluni Ningsikim Tawama Knukchar Hachuk of Knani Tosh Ning Lingami Knuluni Kani Lakyaksha Kanikchak Imuluni Ting Chukaratuli Ashinani Nunami Amsikutatu Kibispuknaki. Tamka manet hit nun night a seat hooter, canic chuck nutara pitchuminuk rachtusan ink lago, ya, it blowed away. But anyway, my togum, Matumnasini, a she a couple of weeks ago, a canis remini, you go to tram pitchumini, a she reganis hook. I'm going to check the book. When the current condition was bad, but now has improved, and we're thankful of, for the extension. Hopefully, the folks that hadn't gotten their moose will be able to.
That was Peter Lockock Sr., Yuktun Place Names Coordinator for the Togiak Tribal Council, on hunting conditions there after the moose season in 17A was extended.
Since it's Valentine's Day, we thought it would be appropriate to talk about sex. Specifically, sexually transmitted infections.
Yes, and before we begin, just a warning, we are going to be talking about sex and body parts. If you don't want to hear about that right now, you can tune out and join us again in about 7 minutes. Okay, let's talk about safer sex. Yes, safer, since having sex always carries some risk. Safer sex refers to anything you do when you have sex to lower your risk of getting STIs and or getting pregnant. Of course, you can use condoms to help protect against STIs, but condoms aren't 100% effective.
We're going to unpack a few issues surrounding STIs by learning a little more about what they are, how to prevent them, and what to do if you have one.
To do that, I checked in with Dr. Kathy Hindman, who is based in Dillingham. Dr. Hindman, thank you so much for coming in.
It is my pleasure.
We wanted to talk a little bit about sexually transmitted infections and what people can do to prevent them, and also just a little bit about destigmatizing the conversation around STIs. Can you give a little background into STIs in Bristol Bay?
Yes, I can. When we talk about STIs, what we're talking about is sexually transmitted infections, which is the current proper phrase. It used to be called sexually transmitted diseases, and prior to that it was called venereal disease, which has to do with essentially sin. However, what is important to remember is that anybody can get a sexually transmitted infection from having sex with somebody that has a sexually transmitted infection already. They do not get spread except by mucous membrane to mucous membrane contact, which means lips contacting private parts, be it penis or vagina, or penis contacting vagina or anus. So that is how you get a sexually transmitted infection, and there are a multitude of them. The most common ones in Bristol Bay are gonorrhea and chlamydia. Both of those are diseases that can be symptomatic, but sometimes are not symptomatic. Gonorrhea tends to show up in a man as a burning with urination or a dripping pus from the penis. In a woman, they may not actually have much beyond an increased vaginal discharge, and they may not have symptoms at all. chlamydia also is a disease that can be associated with vaginal discharge or penile discharge, but most often is not symptomatic for either the man or the woman. The good news is both of those are easy to test for. All you have to do is pee in a cup. And in fact, if you're shy, you can go to iknowmine.org or iwantthetest.org and get a test kit that you can do at home. Now, when it comes to getting treatment, you will need to contact somebody in the medical field. Mm. And in Dillingham, that would take the form of either coming to the hospital, going to the village clinic if you're in a village, or talking to public health.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece of really good news about gonorrhea and chlamydia is they are curable. For gonorrhea, it takes one shot once. For chlamydia, it takes one dose of medicine by mouth once. And that will cure you. But you've got to follow the rules after that. It's important that you do not have sex with anyone for 7 days after you've taken the medicine. It is also important to get your partner treated or your partners. There are ways to get medicines for your partner or partners, and you also can let the hospital or the public health department be kind of the bearers of bad news with regards to that, because what will happen is, number one, gonorrhea and chlamydia are both mandated to be reported to the state in an effort to control disease. Hmm. It's not to shame anybody, it's just to get people treated. And the partners that you name will be called by public health or by the hospital and be told you've been named a contact of somebody that's got a sexually transmitted infection. They won't say your name. They won't tell them anything else other than they have been a contact and they should come in and get tested and treated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The other diseases that are more feared, I guess, would be HIV and syphilis. Both of these have been seen in Bristol Bay, although we have not had a case of syphilis recently in Bristol Bay, and I don't believe that we've had any new cases of HIV in Bristol Bay. The good news with syphilis is that it, too, can be treated with a shot of penicillin. One shot.
What great news. We are no longer living in Shakespearean times.
That is correct. And the good news with HIV is that there are excellent collections of medicine to treat HIV so that this can be lived with in the long term. This is not an automatic death sentence. The other disease that's important to get tested for would be hepatitis C. Now, those three that I just mentioned, HIV, syphilis, and hepatitis C, all of them require a blood draw. That means you have to go to the lab and get your blood drawn. You can come to the walk-in department at Kanakanak Hospital or to your village clinic and say, I want to be screened for sexually transmitted infections. The people who see you should say, do you want to just pee in a cup or do you want to get your blood drawn? Do them both. Get tested because you can change your life. You can change the life of your partner or partners. You can change the life of your children because children who are born to women who are infected with these diseases can be protected from them if we know about them.
So a lot of really great information there and a lot of hope, I think, for people, you know, who are either living with STIs or who are worried about having an STI. But obviously the most important thing is that you go get tested and that you get the right treatment. Having worked in Bristol Bay for many years and, you know, practiced medicine here, what are some of the things that you've heard from people as far as STIs go? Like, is there any overriding concern or reason that people don't come in to get tested?
I think people are mostly concerned about confidentiality, and they're afraid that they may have some terrible disease. Like I say, all of the disease that we've talked about so far, if not curable, like gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis, are treatable, like HIV and hepatitis C. And in fact, there's some signs that hepatitis C is also curable. But I believe that most folks just are scared that they might have something. They're scared of what their partner or partners might think of them. They're scared that their partner or partners might retaliate upon them. And they're scared that people in the community will find out.
Is there anything that, you know, listeners can take away in terms of going to get tested?
If you're going to enter a new relationship, get tested and get your partner to get tested. If you can't talk to your prospective partner about sexually transmitted infections, should you be having sex with that person? This seems a reasonable thing in this day and time to go and make sure that you yourself are healthy and make sure your partner is healthy.
Well, we hope that everyone has a very healthy Valentine's Day. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
That was eloquently stated by Dr. Heinemann.
Indeed. Dr. Heinemann also pointed out that you can't get STIs by sitting on the same towel in the steam or by sitting on a toilet seat. You can only get STIs through mucous membrane to mucous membrane contact. And condoms are very effective in protecting against STIs. And you can learn more by going to a health clinic in your community, the public health clinic in Dillingham, or by talking to a medical professional. Get up. The Dillingham Music Department is holding a musical talent show today in the middle school gym. There are two shows starting at 3 and going until 7, and there will also be ice cream. It's a fundraiser, $5 for kids and $10 for adults, and the proceeds will go to the music department. Drop by anytime. And for a musical adieu to all of you today, we're going to take a trip to the music class, where teacher Brandon Smith was explaining the romantic classical movement in Europe to the kids. Here he is talking about Beethoven.
Dun-dun-dun-dun, very emotional, totally moving away from the scientific box. You see what I'm saying? And then we get into very lush, open chords, like the ones you just did. That's when they started appearing. Those lush, open, beautiful dissonances that we did and resolution, they didn't come until the Romantic era came. And even in religion, started going away from the detached deity and started sort of turning themselves inward to find a new definition of God, one very close to home and personal. Music and art started doing the same thing. You look at the art, the visual art, broad brush strokes, lush green pastures, azure blue skies started reflecting humans' emotions. I totally just wanted to back up my comment when I said we need to start singing more romantic era music, is because that, I feel, maybe your strong suit right now. That you are making some beautiful sounds. You are making some romantic sounds. Those are gorgeous sounds. I want her to hear how beautiful you sounded a second ago, so let's stand up. Hello.
That's it for our show today. Now switching over to the weather. Currently in Dillingham, it's 11 degrees with cloudy skies. Today, some overcast, a high near 15 degrees, winds northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with snow showers developing after midnight, a low of 7 degrees, winds northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow 50%, only an inch of snow is expected. Tomorrow, snow showers early with a chance of lingering snow showers later, a high of 21 degrees, winds light and variable, chance of snow 50%, accumulations less than 1 inch. Up in Unalakleet, currently it's negative 6 degrees with sunny skies. Today, a mix of clouds and sun with gusty winds, a high of negative 2 degrees, winds east at 25 to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy and windy, a low of negative 7 degrees, winds east at 20 to 30 miles per hour. And tomorrow, cloudy with gusty winds, a high of negative 2 degrees, winds east at 25 to 35 miles per hour. In Naknek, currently, it's 11 degrees with cloudy skies. Today, scattered flurries with snow showers, a high of 19 degrees, winds northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of snow 30%. Tonight, cloudy, with snow showers developing after midnight, a low of 13 degrees, winds northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of snow 60%, accumulations less than 1 inch. And tomorrow, Saturday, occasional snow showers, a high of 31 degrees, winds southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of snow 60%, snowfall around 1 inch.
In community announcements this afternoon, Dillingham City Schools will be having a regular school day on Monday, February 17th. And there are several closures around town on Monday, except for the school, obviously. BBAHC Admin, Kanakanak Hospital, and Village Clinics will be closed in observance of Elizabeth Paratrovich Day. The ER will remain open for emergencies, and Village Clinics will also be closed. So call the on-call number if you have an emergency and are in a village. BB&A and all their offices will be closed Monday on February 17th for Elizabeth Paratrovich Day. They will reopen on Tuesday for regular business. And Chogyung Limited will also be closed on Monday. The Inushigak Cooperative Board of Directors will be holding its regular scheduled board meeting on Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m. in the Inushigak Cooperative Conference Room. And Inushigak Cooperative is also holding a Nuyakuk River Hydroelectric Project presentation on Wednesday, February 19th at 6 p.m. in the Dillingham Middle School Gym. On Wednesday, February 19th, the Dillingham City School District will be holding a work session meeting at 6 p.m. in the School District Central Office. And on February 17th, that's Monday, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., the UAF Bristol Bay Campus will be holding an Allied Health Nursing Program open house that's in the Applied Sciences Building or the old Napa store. You can call to set up a one-on-one appointment with an academic advisor. Finally, today, jurors with service numbers 1 through 85 are to report for service Tuesday, February 18th at 8:30 a.m. All other jurors are to call the jury hotline Tuesday, February 18th after 5 p.m. for an update, and please bring a lunch. That's all for community announcements. I wanted to ring out the show with something sappy, but Tyler's a huge wet blanket and he hates love songs.
Those are not my words. That's totally misconstrued. I mentioned earlier this week that there is a Paul McCartney song, a love song, that is a wannabe barbershop soda jerk. It's not good. It's just not good. If you probably know what I'm talking about.
I don't actually know what song you're talking about, so
it's, I don't know what the name is too, but I can't think of the name, but it's a very popular song. It was on the radio earlier this week. If you tune in, you probably would have heard it.
It also came to my awareness just thinking about, you know, how we're forming the show and how we named it. We were so proud of coming up with a name. I realized this week that Tyler did not, when we chose the name, understand that By the Bay as a name is actually also referencing the commonly used phrase by the way. We're not just physically by the bay. We're also by...
I'm rolling my eyes. It's a weak pun. That's why I didn't think of it.
Anyways... We're gonna play you guys out with a lovely song, two covers performed by Dillingham sophomore Karis Weiland on ukulele and vocals, junior Esther Thoyer, and senior Janice Cox playing I'm Yours by Jason Mraz, and Israel Kamaka Vivole's version of Over the Rainbow.
Nice work.
Thank you. Thanks. We love all of you listening out there. Have a great Valentine's Day.
And if you are single this Valentine's Day, treat yourself, because the greatest love of all resides within.
I'm Izzy Ross.
And I'm Tyler Thompson.
Happy Valentine's Day. See you next week.
Bye.
Can't count on me like one. Support for KDLG comes from Beaver Creek Bed and Breakfast, your home away from home in beautiful Dillingham, providing nightly and extended stays. The Beaver Creek B&B at 842-7335 or on the web at dillinghamalaska.com.
White women in Utah were the first in the nation to vote under an equal suffrage law 150 years ago. Now there's an unusual plan brewing in the state to get more women elected to public office. But Utah's history is complicated.
It is because of polygamy, and it's a part of our past